Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Once a week, we set aside our differences, whether it's us having an argument, whether it's, you know, an argument we've seen other people having. People send us disagreements they're having with their partners.
I would argue that once a week we don't set aside our differences.
Oh, but at least we get someone else to decide who
that's fair.
Is right. Mm-hmm. We try and, you know, we just try our best. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to get through this crazy thing called life. The way we do that with tricky decisions is with this.
Tim and Jess.
You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. The way this works is what we're talking about every single week. You call up on 52232955. You get the final say. You are judge. It becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine. A former royal butler says there is a correct way to eat a burger.
Now,
how would you eat a burger, Jess?
You pick it up.
Yep.
You take a bite.
Yep. You.
How many other ways are there to eat a burger?
Well, you could cut it in half.
Oh,
you could
sure,
cut it
sure,
into
sure.
quarters. Like we were out on Tuesday night with some friends and I noticed that they cut the burger in half before they picked it up with their hands.
If the burger's particularly tall and like there's likely to be spillage, if I can't fit the whole thing in my mouth, then I would likely cut it in
the
middle.
Do you know what's a weird thing that I've seen you do too many times?
What?
Try and fit a big burger into your
mouth.
And just try.
And medically, I've been told I have a very small mouth.
What doctor is telling you that?
Like many dentists. I'm talking like at least 3 or 4 dentists have said, wow, how did you cram all them teeth in that little mouth? I was like, wow. A lot of people say I have a big mouth.
Yeah, no, different reasons though. this former royal butler who worked for the Queen said the correct way to eat burgers is with a knife and fork. So not just to cut it in half and do that. It's literally cutting it like you would any other meal.
Okay.
Initially, I'm getting a no from you. I'm getting a this is not
I feel
how.
Like people who eat a burger with a knife and fork are eating a pizza with a knife and fork. Like,
but sometimes it is okay to eat a pizza with a knife and fork. There's no shame with that.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean,
for someone who has medically such a small mouth, you think you would be wanting to cut things up into smaller chunks.
You would think, but no, I'll still find a way to shove them in my gob.
Okay.
There's a picture.
Apparently, we should all be eating burgers with knives and forks and not our hands. King Charles' former butler, Grant Harold, claimed that the proper way to eat it is knife and fork. He said that it's the way that the royal family would eat their burgers when they get
they
a happy
often
meal
eat
in
her burger.
In
their
Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, they like a Whopper. King Charles prefers Burger King, of course.
Yeah, of course, naturally. 52232955. Can you eat a burger with a knife and fork? Should you eat a burger with a knife and fork, actually?
Yeah,
that's
I feel
the way
like
to go about it. I don't
the answer
hate
is
it.
You shouldn't.
I don't like getting when I'm eating, like last night my wife and I we made some like little at home steak sandwiches and we were like, ho ho ho, look at us, we're at a restaurant.
La-di-da.
La-di-da. And then I got like pesto and onion and like, you know, burger drip just down my hands. And
that's great. Give it a lick off.
And I'm just standing there and like, well, when you've got hair all up your body, Jess, I don't know if licking my arm hair to get a bit of pesto sauce is the most
like
attractive
the
thing
carpet.
To do. Pretty much. I imagine that's what it feels like. So I don't like, it's like when I'm cooking, if I get like, say, egg on my hands, I'll immediately go over and wash it. I'll go over to the sink 10 times in a cooking session instead of just waiting to the end with messy hands.
Sure.
So to me, I'm like, all right, I haven't tried to eat a full burger with a knife and fork before. So
but you get it.
I can't knock it if I ain't trying it.
What are you eating next with a knife and fork? A toasty? Like,
you could.
But should you? No.
52232955. Should you eat burgers with knives and forks? Doesn't matter what I am feeling about this. Doesn't even matter what you're feeling about this, Jess. It only matters what Beck from Geelong is feeling about this because she's our judge. Good afternoon, Your Honour.
Good afternoon. How are we going today, guys?
I mean, Jess is very angry for something that I'm not even saying, hey, this is what I feel. I've just seen something. I'm intrigued by it.
What, do you think you're better than me, Tim? Is that...
You know I think that.
Beck, how many burgers do you reckon you've eaten in your lifetime?
Oh, God, I don't even want to bloody know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
if
fair.
If I'm honest, okay, with you.
Yep.
Would you, have you ever eaten a burger with a knife and fork?
That is absolutely preposterous.
Oh, oh. Preposterous, you say.
I could never. That is sin. Jail.
Wow. Wow, we've never had a jail ruling on the show.
This is actually starting to turn quite serious.
Very passionate about this, I am.
Beck, would you ever just even cut a burger in half, or is it even that preposterous to you as well?
No, I wouldn't cut it in half. Never. I'd just flatten it all the way down, flatten it both hands.
Give it a squish.
Like a human CPR to the burger. And then I eat it so all the flavours are really all embedded together. Because what's the point of cutting it in half?
That's it.
Or eating it with a knife and fork so you just get little bits and bobs.
A burger is a handheld food, right, Beck?
Absolutely. Handheld for sure.
Bang that gavel, Tim.
I will. I'm not sure any of us would be invited to Buckingham Palace for a meal, but I think we can all pretty much confirm it now. But, Beck, Your Honour, we appreciate your ruling. Thank you very much, Your Honour.
Not a problem. Anytime, guys.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait. Sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
I have... gone deep for today's little quiz for you. The last couple of days I've been testing your knowledge of like just general knowledge sayings.
I feel like this is like bullying because you know that my knowledge of sayings is all over the place. It's like me going, Jess, do you want to do your driver's license test
How
again?
Dare you?
I know that you're a bad driver. It's not fair of me to put that punishment on you. This is the same as me. I know the general gist of sayings, just not the words.
You've been doing not too bad. You've gotten most of the sayings.
And these are for primary school children, Jess.
Well, I thought I'd up the ante today, and I've found a whole bunch of sayings that we say, like a lot of people know the commonly, like the first half of this saying.
Okay.
But apparently there are like little tail ends of these sayings that no one uses anymore.
All right.
And I thought I'd test you and see how many of those you could get.
All right. Well, it's going to go bad. So let's go into it.
Okay. I'm going to give you the first half of the saying and then I need you to finish it off for me.
Okay.
Speak of the devil.
And he shall appear.
Yes.
There we go.
See? But a lot of people forget that little, the other half of it.
Because I guess if you
speak
someone,
of the devil.
Yeah, speak of the devil. There you are. Yeah, all right.
Jack of all trades.
Oh, master of none.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's good. Okay.
I did give you a panicked look of
like, oh.
I thought that was just it.
Okay. An eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye.
This is a cautionary kind of saying. Like, an eye for an eye. Only
a leg for a leg.
No.
Eye for an eye. Only one of us has two eyes. No. Because one of us, now we both have one eye.
No. An eye for an eye only makes the world go blind.
I have never heard that in my whole
no,
life.
No, me either. I didn't know there was a
so
second
bizarre.
Half of that one.
Okay.
Okay. This one is great because a lot of people say this as like a way to make themselves feel better. But with the whole sentence, it really changes the way that this sounds.
Here we go.
Winning isn't everything.
It's the only thing.
Yes, literally.
You've never heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that. This one, you're going to think I've made this up, but I've looked into this.
Okay.
The other day I gave you a saying, the early bird
gets the worm.
Yes. Apparently there's a second half of this sentence. The early bird gets the worm, but...
It's awake.
No.
The early bird gets the worm. Yeah, boy.
No. No.
How? It didn't have any eyes.
No.
I don't know.
You've combined the eye one now.
All right.
The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese.
That's not real. Okay, that's garbage. I don't like that.
I fact checked that one. Apparently, that's all, the real sentence.
That's all you've got?
That's all I've got. Okay, Timmy. I think you did pretty well.
Is there enough for tomorrow, and then we can be done with this? Like, are we?
We can be done with it today if that's what you so choose.
Well, it's not about that. Like, I'm
winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, Tim.
I know. That's now that's got me thinking. Maybe I need to finish strong tomorrow while we're at the Royal Geelong Show and prove to people live in the flesh that I'm not just like, you know, mm-hmm. something wrong up in the brain department.
Maybe we'll get a few people to help you at the show tomorrow.
I don't know if I need outside help.
We'll get some people on your level, you know, like maybe there's a couple of toddlers running around.
I'm sure if it's the show. So, yeah, if we go to the teacup rides, we should probably be in business.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Christmas parties are starting to get discussed. Particularly work Christmas parties, usually those are like start of December, you know, you want to get them out the way before you get all your family Christmas parties done.
I like that in the Australian culture, at least, like it definitely marks like the end of the year. Whereas in like the Northern Hemisphere in America, like their Christmas period, because the way their schools, like it runs opposite, their end of the year, like mentally is the summer, which is May, which is so bizarre. In Australia, we're just like, what, December 20? Let's shut down for a month.
Yeah.
And a week. A month and a week. No, end of January.
Very true. Like everything kind of shuts down mid-December and nothing gets started up until February.
But yeah, I love the work Christmas parties. I've had a horrid run of luck with Christmas parties for the last couple of years.
You've missed some good ones.
And we don't know what we're doing this year, but that's exciting. Because it means something big's in the works.
I have proposed a murder mystery party for the K-Rock crew.
It's a lot of commitment, as much as I'd love to do it.
It is a lot of commitment.
Really got to dive
getting
into
a lot
that.
Of no's, but I will keep pushing. I do want to talk about a request that one team of staff has been asked in the lead up to their work Christmas party. So this employer reportedly made $500 million last financial year. So it's a big company. And this person has gone online and said, is this normal in big companies? I've always worked in small companies and they would go like pay for us all to go out for a work Christmas event, right? Yeah. So like typically, and this has been the case for every workplace I've worked for, you go to a work Christmas party, you know, work will put on drinks or they'll put on a meal, you know, that sort of thing.
There's always an activity.
There might be an activity involved, but usually I haven't had to pay. The request is this person is working for a new company and apparently the company is asking staff to help fund the upcoming work Christmas party by making deductions to their pay.
Oh, so it's not an opt-in. That's because I was
you can opt in to go to the party, but apparently it's very much a you must attend, even though it's considered like not mandatory.
Yeah.
Like the vibe in the office is definitely like there's a push for it.
Because I don't think it's a completely out of the world. Like wherever you work, at the end of the day, like you don't want your company or wherever you work to be like taking this massive financial hit. Like say if it was like...
No, well, I do.
Yeah, because like I would be happy to be... Because at the end of the day, if I'm going there, I'm definitely going to be eating food. Like a free meal isn't something that I expect. Like same with drinks and those activities. I would pay like $50 to go to a work Christmas party.
You would?
Yeah, like because I want to go.
See,
and it's like if I'm helping fund the event, then yeah, I'm on board. It's a team thing.
My partner works for a big company and every year you have to buy a ticket to go to his work Christmas party.
Because it's like in demand.
Because there's literally thousands of employees. Yeah. So they throw like one big party for everyone and you have to buy a ticket. It's like a ball. Like you go along to this like huge event. And this is what this guy was saying. Hey, look, you know, they said our partners can come, but we will be funding the event. And I just thought on 5223 2955, maybe it's just because I've never been in upper management.
That's so weird for you.
I know,
you just
right?
have that energy. I think people listening would go, that is so bizarre to hear.
Should you have to pay for your work Christmas party? I want to get a consensus. What's the vibe around Geelong and the Surf Coast? Are we paying for our work Christmas parties? Is it an expectation that you know, it's like a gift from our employer?
Hypothetically this year, say, like you're saying, we've never had to pay for a Christmas party at the radio station we've worked at. This year they go, hey guys, we really want to do something really fun, but it is going to cost us all $50 each if you want to come. Are you paying that?
I'd pay up to $100. I feel like that's fair. $100, that covers my food and drinks.
I don't know why. I disagree. I think 80 is the limit. Like, I don't think you should be breaking out a full 100, but well, I
52232955. Should you have to pay for your work Christmas party?
Trisha in Wellington's given us a call. Trisha, what do you think? Should you have to pay to go to your work Christmas party?
I think there's sort of like a limit. Maybe, you know, $50 and under for the Christmas party. If they're expecting you to pay more, maybe they could foot the rest of the bill. But I think an employer generally can't win either way, because if you have one where they pay for, everyone's like, oh, well, we should have got a pay rise if they can afford to.
Oh, that's so true, Trisha. Hey,
yeah.
You don't want them to throw anything too lavish.
Yeah. Trisha, you're one of the rare people that's called this show that's considered someone else's perspective. And this is crazy.
That almost never happens on the Tim
and
Jess show.
Even Jess and I normally are also in that camp as well. So this is quite interesting. So,
Trisha, have you ever had to pay for a work Christmas party yourself?
No, I've been an employer and an employee, but not had to pay for one myself. No.
Okay.
I've never had a business that's had enough money to...
it's a lot of money. Like, if you have, like, 30, 40 staff and, like, you're paying for their meals, their drinks and an activity, that's in the thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah, but if you're making $500 million a year, I feel like you can swing $100 a head. Do you know what I mean?
Companies in Geelong making $500 million a year. That's fair. So I think we need to level it. But, Trisha, incredible perspective. What a well-thought conversation you've just had out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, where did she go to school? We need a... I like that.
We need more respectful people like that on our radio show,
we
Tim.
We also need to be more respectful too, Jess.
No, I won't hear that.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.